Sometimes does it seem too good to be true that God's only Son lived and died just for you? Is it hard to believe that His love's really there? In spite of your sin, He continues to care. I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is. I don't know where your feet have taken you, but He's climbed up Calvary's hill. I don't know what kind of words you've spoken, but His words were Father, forgive. I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is. Sometimes does it seem you've wandered so far that you'll never get back to your place in His heart? Don't you know that He waits with the sound of your prayer? Just whisper His name and you'll find that He's there. I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is. I don't know where your feet have taken you, but He's climbed up Calvary's hill. I don't know what kind of words you've spoken, but His words were, Father, forgive. I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know, yes I know, oh I know what a Savior He is. He
Amen. Well, I ain't worried about it. I tell you, God knows how to take care of things. Amen. He sure does. And, since we've been here, we've been able to add a lot of good stuff to this church. And, you know, the good system is going to be good. We put a computer back there. It's sad. We put that brand new computer back there to start our shut-in ministry. And I thought of two more people that would have been, it's going to be good as far as getting those six DVDs out as far as our shut-in ministry. And then you got your power supply goes out, or your power board goes out. But that's all right. God's got all of it under control. Amen. And he knew that things were going to go out before it ever went out. But we'll just leave it in the Lord's hand. I want to preach on this thought tonight in Jude chapter number 1 and the last chapter. I'm joking. There's just one chapter. Just one book. Okay. 25 verses. Y'all got very familiar with the book of Jude this past year, didn't you? Those of you who were here throughout the year of last year, I preached a series of messages, several messages. So many that you just got tired of hearing about the book of Jude. And I said, well, this might be the last one. Y'all remember that? It's back in the fall. And I got there at verse number 25, and I preached on that to the only wise God, our Savior. I preached on the wise God, the part of our wise God of our Savior. And then I preached on the glory of to the only wise God, our Savior. Be to the glory. And tonight, I want to look at this verse again. And I want to brag on the Lord tonight. And I just want to talk about how good God is. And sometimes you just got to talk about how good God is. Amen? And I want you to know something tonight. Hey, God's given me a good family. He's given me a good home. He's given me a good wife and somewhat good children. I'm joking, kids. They're not laughing at me. He gave me a good church to worship the Lord in. He gave me a good ministry. Put me in the ministry. Give me His grace. What could I ask more than His grace? Hey, all of those things, if nothing was given to me in a physical way, hey, that He give me His grace and He give me His mercy and He poured it out with His own sacrifice on that cross. And let me tell you how good God's been to me tonight. And oh, if I could just sit back tonight, I just want to share the grace of the Lord. Not only His grace, but how majestic God is tonight. The Bible says, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. I'm preaching on this thought of a majestic God, a majestic God. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us now. Father, I sure love You tonight. Oh God, You've been so kind to me. Lord, You saved my soul from hell. How could I ever thank You enough? Thank You for all eternity, Lord, and it would never be enough for what You did for me. Oh Lord, thank You for Calvary. Thank You for shedding Your blood, Father, on that cross. Oh, Lord, thank You, Father, that it's applied to the mercy seat forever, Father. There'll be no accusations against me to send me to hell, though Satan can try to make them. Oh, I'm covered in the blood, Lord. Father, I'm in You, Lord. Thank You for that. Oh, Father, thank You for this Word, pure and true. Thank You that when I open it, Father, oh, how it stirs my heart. Lord, thank You for its authority. Where would we be without it? Oh, God, I pray that You please help these that are here tonight. Oh, God, I pray come down upon these hearts. Oh, Father, I ask You to do this work, Lord. Father, I pray when we leave here that all these that are gathered under the sound of my voice will say it's been good to hear from God, Father, that You did the work and not man. Oh, Lord, we look for that. Father, we'll thank You for what You do for us now. Honor, Lord, Your Word, I pray, and I know You will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you can be seated now tonight, when I think of majesty, I think of royalty or power or wealth or even social status. And everybody remembers, you know, a few years back there was that whole controversy about Michelle Obama touching the Queen of England. Everybody remember that in the news. And the Queen Elizabeth has been, you know, reigning monarch of England for years, both loved and respected throughout the world. And she is seen as a dignitary. Majesty means a greatness and dignity of a sovereign. The sovereignty and power, even in Webster's, of God. Supreme authority or power, a royal personage. Royal dignity of bearing or aspect, greatness or grandeur, stately, splendor, magnificent, as of style or character. We think about kings in the Bible who were robed with such grandeur, majesty. If we could think of one that probably would come to mind would be the great King Solomon. We find even the queen, a queen of this earth, visiting the King Solomon in his glory. The Bible says in 1 Kings 10:4, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord," the Bible says there was no more spirit in her. My friend, there's something about the majesty of Solomon's throne. And she looks and says to the king, she says, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God, thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever." Think about what she said. She said it was a true report, but then she said, "The half was not told unto me." Matthew 12:42 says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." And my friend, when I think about the majesty and the grandeur of one of the greatest kings, of the wisest kings that's walked the face of this earth, in old King Solomon, I can't help but think about the words that she spoke. She said, "The half has not even yet been told unto me." Hey, my friend, when I see God face to face, when I see my precious Lord and Savior, and I look at His precious eyes, all I can say to Him is, "The half was not yet told." Hey, I can think about heaven and talk about heaven, but the half will not be told when I get up there and see the glory of Christ's kingdom. And when I see Him face to face and I see the grace dripping from Him, my friend, hey, listen, I'll say, "Thank God, it was nothing of what I could ever imagine it could be." When I see Him, oh, in His majesty, oh, my friend, there's one. Hey, think about Queen of Sheba. There's the one to whom she'll bow. And she'll confess that He is Lord to the glory of God, you see, and the Father. The Bible declares that God not only above, but far above all principality and power. The Bible says He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and that every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hey, I thank the Lord that many years ago, hey, I bowed my heart and my knees toward a wonderful person, the most wonderful person in this universe, as I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, my friend, and every knee is going to bow just in the same way that I did on that day. And have since, my friend, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God declares that all shall bow. Isaiah 45:23, "I've sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." My friend, in this life many should bow. Hey, but there are so many that do not. There are so many that will not hit their knees, and they refuse to get their hearts right with God. And they refuse to get their hearts even right with man. Hey, they stay in their rebellious stage, never get in the presence of God and to see and experience the mighty presence and power of a God working in their life. Hey, in eternity, all though will bow. The Bible says in Romans 14:11, it is written, He said, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow unto me. Hey, and those that do not, my friend, the Bible says in Philippians 2:10, that in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Hey, have you ever noticed that word in Philippians 2:10? He didn't say they shall bow in Philippians 2:10. He used the word should. And my friend, every knee should bow, but not all knees bow. But there is a day when every knee will bow and shall bow under the King of Glory. Hey, the Lord is majestic, you see, in so many ways. Hey, we can't mention them all tonight. I want to give you just a few real quick before we end this service tonight. First of all, He is majestic, my friend, because of who He is. Hey, 1 Kings 8:27 says, But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. Hey, listen, as an immense as the universe is, God is far greater, you see, as He has spanned it according to the Scriptures with His hand. There is no God like unto Him, you see. Psalms 24:7, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The question asked there in Psalms 24. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? Says the psalmist again in a question. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. My friend, let me tell you, He's majestic because of who He is. Not only can the heavens and the universe not contain Him, for He spans it with His hand, but my friend, He goeth forth in great victory. Hey, there is not an army on earth, there is not an army that ever has been or ever will, you see, will match up to the power of Almighty God. 1 Timothy 6:15, which is in the times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Revelations 19:15, And out of His mouth goeth forth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. My friend, in that day, and it will come, hey, the kings of this earth will unite against the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and there'll not be one that'll be powerful enough to stop our God. Hey, listen, I'm glad I'm on the winning side tonight, amen? I'm glad I've read the end of the book and I know the story. Hey, listen, I win and the devil loses. Hey, listen, there's not anything that's going to stop it from happening because God has already said it in His Word. Hey, listen, Brother Hyde, if that's not enough to keep preaching about, if that's not enough to keep soul winning over, if that's not enough to keep praying, if that's not enough to keep reading our Bible, hey, we need to just close it up and go to the house, honey. Hey, God is majestic tonight. Hey, He's worthy of all your service. He's worthy of all your prayers. He's worthy of all, my friend, your song. He's worthy of all your witness. He's worthy of all your testimony. My friend, God is worthy of it. He's majestic because of His person. But as I look at the Scriptures tonight, He's also majestic because of what He possesses. Genesis 14:22. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. My friend, I think about my problems. You might even think about yours. And I'd have to ask you this question. Out of all the things in your life, oh, how can we not trust a God that is possessor of heaven and earth? If He owns it all, why should we even fret about any little thing? Why in the world should we stumble over any little thing? My friend, when the possessor of heaven and earth fills this young man, when the possessor of heaven and earth fills his heart, this undeserving heart, hey, I deserve hell tonight. I deserve it. But God in His grace, oh, He chose to rescue me out of a place called hell. To take my foot out of the miry pit and place it on a solid rock and establish my goings before Him. Oh, is there a God as majestic as such a one? because of who He is. Hey, listen. Psalms 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Hey, He's the possessor of heaven and earth. He's the possessor of this world and all that dwells therein. Every one of you are a possession of God. You know that tonight? You're a possession of God. Yet you claim yourself for your own. You're a possession of God. Yet you woke up this morning and felt a need to do what you wanted to do. You're a possession of God. Yet the word that He gave you that's eternal, the only thing that's going to help your marriage, it's going to help your family, help your children, help your ministries, help your church. The only thing that's going to help you, we failed to open up and read. We failed to get alone and pray with Him. Hey, our possession. Does He not possess you? We are possessions of the Lord. He is majestic because of where He dwells. Isaiah 6:1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And the one cried, and another said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Oh, what terror probably come upon the prophet. My friend, has he seen such a sight? Hey, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, nor whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. The Bible says in Psalms 104, bless the Lord, O my soul, Lord my God. Thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. Oh, my friend, when you wake up, why wouldn't you want to speak to this one? Why wouldn't I give my time to Him? He's such a great God. He's such a mighty God. He's honest and true and pure. There's sin in us, my friend, but not in Him. Hey, where He dwells, what a majestic place. The majesty of His sovereignty is seen as well. My friend, the angels worship God. The Bible says in Revelations 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. The angels worship Him. The devils worship Him. Luke 8:28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before Him. And with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, that Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. My friend, if the devil will fall down at the feet of Jesus, but we won't, what does it speak to us? Hey, are y'all listening to me tonight? Oh, my friend, to get along with God. Hey, you're getting along with majesty. You're getting along with royalty, my friend, when you talk to the Lord. The saved need to worship God. Revelation 7:9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. I think about this day that will come, Brother Ron. I was talking to those men on Saturday night. Man, something real heavy on my heart, the tenderness of the people here. I just don't know about our tenderness. When we step before God, there's no tenderness, no care. Oh, my friend, when's the last time you just got alone and wept before God? Where's our tender heart to beseech you, the God of glory? My friend, on that day when they begin to cry out unto God, hey, these hearts will be tender unto Him. Why in the world would the saved not worship Him with the tenderness of the same heart? Creatures worship Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, as such are in the sea, and all them and all that are in them heard and I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and the Lamb forever. He said, and ever. Psalms 149 says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Psalm 151, praise ye the Lord, praise God in the sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Hey, Psalms 150 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Are you breathing today? You should have praised Him. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Don't turn me off. Did you wake up and breathe God's air with God's lungs? Power of God's might to do it. A created being of the Lord. You woke up and you breathed His air, and He calls upon you. If you're breathing, praise me. His majesty demands your praise and your worship. The majesty not only of His person, the majesty of His sovereignty, but I want you to see tonight the majesty of His authority. Job 37:22 says, fair weather cometh out of the north with God His terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Hey, the Bible, as a thing about, says in Matthew 8:27, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of this? That man is this, that even the winds and seas obey Him. My friend, the majesty of His authority runs into the very nature of itself. The winds obeying, the rains obeying. Hey, as Job mentions of the flower in the desert, if he can take the rain and move it from here to there and care for the flower of the field, my friend, does God not care for you? Hey, I think about that verse over there in Job when he talks about Brother Hyde moving the rain and he caring for that little flower out there in the middle of nowhere in the desert. Hey, in the middle of nowhere is that one lonely flower. And he said, God will take the rain from the whole field and He'll move it to the one little flower if it be His will. Hey, He does what He wants. And He says, God has the power to do it. My friend, that rain being life. And I think about the life of God. And so many times, my friend, when I needed the majesty and the glory of God to show up in my heart. Hey, listen, and no matter where I was, hey, I felt like I was on the backside of nowhere in a place called Nebraska. Hey, in that lonely little basement all of myself. Hey, with no one around, I called up on God and I read that verse and God opened it up to me, my friend, and poured me out a blessing from heaven and said, if I care for the flower of the desert, hey, why wouldn't I care for you, O Mark? Hey, sometimes I feel like I'm lonely. Sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. Sometimes I feel like I'm going through some trials too heavy to bear. Oh, my friend, if God can move the rain out to that lonely flower in the desert, oh, could He not move it to your heart? Nature is subject. Even the devils themselves. Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. My friend, even the devils are subject to Him. The nature subject, the devils are subject, and my friend, that so should the saints. Governments are subject unto Him. Ephesians 1:20, which you wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far beyond principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. We think about all the bad and the wrong and the things being done in the United States, my friend. Hey, there's not one congressman, there's not one man in the Senate or woman, there's not one person in the Supreme Court, there's not one in the federal court, my friend, that has dominion over the God that I serve. And when I hit my knees, I'm glad that I can be anywhere that God can be. In because of His majesty. The majesty of God's glory. Think about Job 40:10. He said, deck thyself now with majesty and excellency. and array thyself with glory and beauty. I think about the majesty of God's glory tonight. Hey, I think about the glory that is just incomprehensible. Exodus 33:18 says, and He said, I beseech you, show me thy glory. And He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Hey, what a verse in the Bible. He said, thus saith the high and lofty one, he inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. My friend, you say, Brother Schmaker, how can I get where God's at? My friend, when you bow your heart unto God and you allow Him to break that old hard heart into pieces, when you allow your heart to be contrite and you humble your spirit before Him, my friend, He'll meet you in the holy place as he draws you close to Him in holiness. Incomprehensible, the glory of the Lord. It's incomparable. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. It's a glory that's incomparable. But not only that, it's a glory, my friend, that is unapproachable. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who only hath immortality dwelleth in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. My friend, the majesty of God's glory is unapproachable. But my friend, I'm glad that God the Father is very approachable by His Son Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? The majesty of all the universe. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hey, we's kind of like old Esther, Brother Ron. Well, I don't know. I get before the king, surely I'll die. He just reaches out his hand and says, come on, it's all right. You're hurting, old Charlie. He says, you're my son and I knew you. Before the foundation ever was, I knew your name. Just come on. It's okay. Oh, how tender our majestic Savior is. He bids us, just come on. It's all right. Oh, how loving and compassionate. And oh, as we step out in fear. And oh, Brother Charlie might rise up. And he'll say, thank you, Lord. And he'll just draw close. Sometimes it's just a bow of a knee away. He puts his head down and he just says, Jesus. And he draws so close to God. As if He's there, my friend, He is. And the presence of God comes down. As God said, just come. You don't have to go through any hurdles. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to come through your mom or your dad or your pastor. You don't have to come through a priest. Just come. And he bids us come. He holds his hand and says, it's all right. You're welcome. Just come. My friend, what a God. Oh, what an approachable Savior. The majesty not only of His glory, but tonight, the majesty of His power. The Bible says in Psalms 93:1, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherewith He hath girded Himself, the world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Oh, my friend, could you imagine this power? Is this not the power that we have trusted in, even for our own salvation? Is this not the same faith that it took to save you and sustain you, as it's mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1 and 2, my friend? Hey, as we think about God forming this world and spinning it on its axis and taking the very stars and strewing them in the heavens,
and setting the moon in its place and the sun in its place. Hey, and by His power, He put everything in its place. Hey, and by His power, it is sustained. And the Bible says, by faith, we believe that God formed it all.
In His majesty and His power, He has the power to shake. Hey, listen, the Bible says in Isaiah 2:19, and they shall go into the holes of the rock and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. When He ariseth to shake terribly the earth. My friend, if God can rent the mountains in two, if God can break the deeps of the ocean, if He can flood the cities with that gigantic waves and rain down fire from heaven, then surely God can speak to the hardest of hearts. 1 Kings 19:9. Beautiful piece of Scripture. The Bible says He came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left, only am left. They seek my life to take it away. Oh, poor pitiful life. And he said, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. My friend, we look for God in some of the strangest places. But we look for Him in the usual places. And we say, surely He's in this power here. Surely He's in this power here. Surely He is in this. And it was so when Elijah heard it. The Bible says after the fire, a still small voice. When he heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering into the cave. And behold, there came a voice in him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. My friend, he experienced the power of God. Yet the very smallest of matter, God made Himself known unto him with a voice. I wonder how many of us get along with God and not look for those great grandeur things. Hey, we're looking for the big signs and we're looking for the light to shine out of the sky or something. And He's just looking to talk to you in a very simple, still, small voice. To touch your heart. And when you bow before a majestic God, to experience His power in such a way. When that voice begins to speak on the inside, what a God. That's all we can say. What a God. My friend, the same power that shakes the earth, the same God that shakes the very foundation. And you stand before an old lost sinner and you give them the gospel and you begin to see them weep and you begin to see them cry. And their heart's been touched. You can tell that little voice is just speaking time and time. Oh, my friend, the power of the great earthquakes, the power of the tsunamis, the power of the great winds, hey, the power to rent the mountains is all distinctly, precisely pointed in that one still small voice in the heart of man to divinely do a work that only God can do. What a God! What a God! This is His majesty. Power to save, power to supply, we could go on tonight. Our God is all powerful. He is majestic. And the only wise God I say, amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around tonight. Every head bowed.